from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
All right. It's a pretty good little Tuesday night. 8-3, 8 runs, 13 hits, dub. Series opener in Miami. Red Sox win 45-39. Oh, we did the Cooper Boardman, by the way, here with you. Zach Coe is inside the glass here. It's Red Sox Review with you. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Take your calls. Just one second. Zach and I were here in part. I lived through, I can't remember. Well, I tried to strike it from the memory, but you and I lived through the 3 days in Chicago, the White Sox series, where we came in. We're like, well, the world will end if the Red Sox don't, you know, take 2 out of 3 or sweep the White Sox or whatever. And then they didn't. And then the world ended. And then it turns out the world was just fine because they went and beat the Phillies and the Yankees. And it is amazing. I was thinking about on the walk over here, on the drive here, on the, you know, thinking about that series and this series, because it's the same deal, right? Got a terrible team on the other side. What do you do with it? But to me, and the result, Zach, is one thing. 8-3, the win. That's great. That's all wonderful. To me, that's one thing. The other thing is how different we feel about this team right now than, you know, when we walked into the studio in that White Sox series, which is what, a bit less than 1 month ago in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox and Marlins, I saw this in a tweet the other day, they're on pace to have two of the worst offenses since 2000 in baseball. So, I mean, these are really two teams that you need to take care of business against. They split with the White Sox, and so far, good early result in this 3-game set against the Marlins.
And you ask about what's different about this team than versus the team that we saw then. It is offense. It is everybody in the lineup recording a hit tonight. It is Willy Abreu setting the tone with a double. It is Rafi Devers doing what he does and driving home runs because guys are actually getting on around him, and he brings home 2 in this first inning. It is 3 hits. Alleluia, a cold and a broken one for Masataka Yoshida, who goes 3 hits tonight, and Manuel Valdez adds 1. Dominic Smith is on. And Jaron Duran keeps being Jaron Duran, goes 433 feet and parks one tonight. And Red Sox win again, 8 runs on 13 hits. 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, live on Red Sox Review till 11 o'clock tonight with you, Cooper Boardman here, Zach Coe inside the glass. We're going to hear from Alex Cora in just a moment, but phone lines are open. You're here. Let's do it. And we'll start in Westfield. Carl, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Cooper, not bored, man. We're back from the little three-game or two-game slide, like you said. I like your point about we're able to beat up and pound on the best teams in the league, and I didn't know this because I don't see well, but I guess Durant, with his eighth home run tonight, 448 feet, Lou said that he has the longest average of 426, so he hits bombs. Wong, Tyler, Devers, Cooper, how old are these? They sound young, like Durant and stuff. What's our average age, like 23, 24 on this new group? That's, if they keep this up, they're going to be monsters in a couple years.
Yeah, it's funny because if you, and Carl, thanks for the call. It's funny because, you know, you look at the average age across baseball and you look at this Red Sox team. Durant is 27, but he's young, I think, in spirit. I think if you were around him consistently, you would see that. I think a lot of Red Sox fans know this. You know, he's 4 years into his career, but he's really 2 real years into his career. The average age thing is funny because if you look at Major League Baseball and you look at where the Red Sox rank, they're not incredibly, you know, I think they're like 19th in age, like, you know, 30 is the oldest and one is the youngest. But it's dragged upward considerably by Chris Martin, who is, what, 38, somewhere in that range. And but you actually go through it, right? And you're looking at Sadon at 23. You're looking at Jaron at 27. You're looking at Willier under 25. You're looking at Manuel Valdez in the 26, 27 range, depending on the month of the year that we're talking about. You know, like, these dudes are, you know, there's no question about it. You stare at this Red Sox roster, you look at a lineup, you look at all these guys. The future is here. This is the future. You're enjoying the future. You're watching guys grow. That's why some of the frustration has been there. But, you know, again, I just go back to, they're so likable. Like, the Red Sox are so likable. And I, you know, maybe this isn't the, we'll get into the game or whatever, but get me going on this here. There's so much negativity around this team coming to the year. And everyone knows this, Zach. You know this because we've lived it a lot of nights here sitting in these seats. There's so much negativity, right? It's, the failing Red Sox. The payroll of the Red Sox. Or lack of payroll. All of that, the could not signs, right? The Jordan Montgomery. I mean, there was one thing that mattered for 5 months in the offseason. Its name was Jordan Montgomery. He's got a 4-some-at ERA. Hasn't pitched that much for the Diamondbacks.
Just hit the IL today, too.
Oh, there you go. Boom. You know, like, you think about all this storm and this cloud of negativity, and you go out west and you play well to start the year, you come back home and it's like, oh, okay, we stink, right? And then you get better, and then May happens, and everyone gets hurt, and it's just, at every turn, there's like this black cloud. I don't know about you, but I turn on this team, and we're talking about a full month's worth of June, and I get it. They're 16-10 since June started, so it's easy when the team is winning, but that's kind of my point, right? You turn on this team on any given night, and I don't know for me if it happened on like June 15th or 16th, but I'm now at like 2.5 straight weeks of every single night. You plop down on the couch. We plop down at Fenway. We plop down in this studio, wherever we are, wherever the team is. You watch them on the road. You know, you watch them tonight in Miami. And you say, Zach, wow, like, this is really fun. This is, like, I am feeling joy at every moment watching this team play baseball.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember sitting in here in the month of May being like, man, this offense
this
is terrible. And they weren't scoring a lot. I mean, even in April, too, there was a stretch where they were scoring 1 to 2 runs a game, and the pitching was just absolutely lights out. And you're sitting there, oh, man, like, if this pitching can just, or if this hitting can just get going and give the pitching staff something to work with, we could have a pretty good team here. And now here we are. We have a pretty good team.
It's amazing. And you know, and we'll get to the pitching, right? Cutter Crawford tonight is really good, and you know, had to be, right? Like, had to bounce back, especially against the offense on the other side, and does that tonight. 6 innings of 1-run ball. They could have pushed him further. They decided not to. We'll get into that. We'll hear from Alex Cora in just a second as well. 617-779-7937. But I think it's probably a very good night for Alex Cora, who I believe is speaking right now. So let's get you there. Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, speaking tonight after an 8-3 win over the Miami Marlins on the road tonight.
What you think of Cutter's performance tonight?
It was really good. The stuff was good. He threw a lot of strikes. The fastball had up. So, you know, gave us enough today. I think the extra rest helped him out, and he looked sharp.
How nice is it to see the offense kind of jump out there early, first inning, grab a couple runs?
Yeah, it's good. For how much we like South Beach and hanging out down here, you know, sometimes you're worried about, you know, coming from the off day after hanging out yesterday and be sluggish, and that wasn't the case. You know, they put some good at-bats, they ran the bases well, and we played some good defense.
Alex, had Cutter, you know, not been cut short in the last start, might he have been able to go seven tonight?
Or? No, we needed six today. I felt good about it. He'll start Sunday, get an extra day. We got to be careful, you know. I mean, this is the first time they've been in this situation as far as, like, posting every 5 days and pitching deep into the game. So, we'll be mindful. I felt like that was good enough, and the bullpen was ready to go.
You feel like he's really delivered on your challenge in spring training about going deeper?
All of them. Yeah, all of them. They understand what we were trying to accomplish. You know, I was kind of like asking for five, and they're going six, you know, and I'm glad they're going six, because the five every outing, the math doesn't work either. So they work hard in the offseason with their deliveries, with the repertoire, body-wise. We talk about him being stronger, and so far it's been good.
Duran's obviously on a power surge the last 10 days or so. Are you seeing anything different with him for that?
Nothing different. He's trying to hit the ball to left center, and when he catches that front, he's going to hit it in the air to the pool side and hit homers. But, since the first at bat, it looked like he was seeing the ball well. They all did, right? And, that was a good game again.
We obviously talk a lot about him, speed, bat to ball, doubles and stuff. But when he can add power to the mix, is it just another level?
Yeah, but he's not trying to hit homers. I think he's just trying to hit the ball hard to left center and then able to catch it out front. You know, I think that's the difference between Jaron now and the Jaron in 2020, 2021. You know, in those 2 years, he was a show in BP, just hitting the ball in the air to the pool side. Now he has learned how to handle the at-bat, how to hit the ball hard and be on time. And, he's a very dangerous hitter right now.
Rafael's really had a turnaround in the past month. What have you liked from him?
We liked the at-bats today better than last week. I was joking with him. After the two at-bats, he saw more pitches in two at-bats than the whole week last week. You know, he was swinging a lot. And with him, there's a balance, right? We want him to be aggressive, but we need him to be aggressive in the zone, you know. And when he's swinging a lot, when you're swinging 70% of your pitches you see, you're going to be chasing 50% of them. That's the league, you know. And in the first at-bat, he was very patient. In that one, he was trying to stay with the fastball the other way, got a changeup, hit in the air. But it was a good game for him, too.
You feel like Massa's starting to figure some stuff out?
Yeah, we talk about it. We like the hitter, right? We like the at-bat. I think people get caught up on the slug and hitting the ball in the air, but this guy, he's a quote-unquote professional hitter, right? We know that he can hit. I think he's getting his rhythm back, and that's very important.
No doubt there. And that, again, Alex Cora speaking tonight after the Red Sox win. Happy Alex Cora. You hear the smile on his voice. All the way from Miami, 8-3 is the final Sox win over the Marlins. We'll get into Alex's thoughts, and then I see your calls. We get to you right on the other side. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Back in one moment on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-2 pitch coming from Chagas, and he swings and drives one to right field deep. Back toward the warning track of the wall, and you can forget about this one. A long home run for Jarren Duran, well over the 387-foot marker. There's his 100th hit. It's a home run, his 10th home run of the year, his 40th RBI. As the extra base hits just keep on coming. 8-3 Red Sox. Boy, did he crush it.
Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Jig it out. Here I am in the place where I come let go.
Good night to be just about any Red Sox fan. I don't think that there was a Marlin fan there. I didn't see one. I didn't hear one. It was unbelievable. You turn on the game tonight, and what did they announce? 14,676. There were like 5,000 people there, and 4,998 of them were Red Sox fans.
We turn on the game, and I'm watching with my dad before I left to come here, and he goes, "Geez, there's nobody there." I was like, "Yeah, sure isn't."
Oh man, that's an upper deck that has not been like, no one's touched the upper deck this year. I get it. They're 30-55. And I get it, because the Red Sox were great tonight. 8-3 winners over the Miami Marlins. This is Red Sox Review live on WEEI. Cooper Boardman here with you. Zach Coe inside the glass, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. If you're shy, you want to text it, 37937 on the text line there. By the way, that came to you, that highlight from the Nissan postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. All right, let's go to the phones once again. 617-779-7937. And we're going to Providence. David, you are on the air in North Providence. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Yes, how are you doing tonight, Cooper?
I'm good. How are you? What do you got?
Well, I got a couple of things to say, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Number one, I saw Jarren Duran about a year and a half, 2 years ago down in Worcester, and I said to myself, and I said to a few friends, I said, you know, if this kid goes in the weight room and puts on like 15 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, I mean, this is going to add to this kid's game. And I'll tell you, people that have trained him and worked with him, I give him credit and I give the trainers credit, because this kid's whole career is changed by putting on this muscle. And the second thing, I just want to know, do you have any idea of when Casas is coming back? And I'll hang up and listen.
David, thank you. And thanks for hanging up and listening. So a couple of things there. One, just on Duran, and just for your reference and for those who maybe aren't in here every single night, my background's in Worcester. I'm one of the people around the Woo Sox every day. And it's an amazing thing with Jarren, right? Because I was there game one in Worcester in 2021. He was a star in 21. He was a star in 22. And I remember having a conversation with him early in 2023 in Worcester. And if you remember, you know, 2023 spring training, there was this whole big conversation like, all right, is he going to be on the big league club or is he going to be in AAA with Worcester? And he went up to the big leagues for like a microsecond in April. I don't know the number of games top of my head, but it couldn't have been 15. And, you know, maybe 10 games or whatever it was, just a couple of weeks in the big leagues and gets sent back down. And, you know, we're kind of sitting there and you know, you'd start to see like just a different version of him. He had been like this mercurial guy. He'd been a great hitter. He'd been fun to watch. He'd been fast, strong, all this stuff. But it is not only the physical, and I would argue that he's been as strong as he's been for a long time. He's just maybe a little bit more, he's a little bit more able to use it now with the what he's done in his work defensively at the plate. But he started, when he got back down to AAA that year, after being sent down from the big leagues in 2023, he started taking some more pitches. And he started really honing in on the pitches that he could drive. And I remember him saying something like, once I started taking these pitches, I realized how many balls I'd been swinging at. And then all of a sudden, he gets his shot in the big leagues. And then all of a sudden, last year happens, and now you're watching this year happen. And you're watching a version of a guy at 27 years old that is, and you know this, David, like all of us know this, living life, right? Who you are at 23 is not who you are at 24, at 25, at 26, at 27. You learn so much in such a short amount of time, not only on the field, but as a person. And this guy, who has been very open about his, you know, his mental health and what he's done work-wise with that, but also just handling what it's like to be a professional and be a Major League Baseball player. And I'll tell you what, version of the guy, well, I think we'll play it a little bit later on, the conversation in the Nissan postgame show that Jaron had with Lou Merlone and Joe Castiglione. That guy was not the same person 3 years ago. That's not a shot at who he was 3 years ago. It's just the reality of being in your 20s and learning how to be a person and learning how to handle everything that he has had to handle, about dropping and missing a ball against the Blue Jays at Fenway Park and having the city of Boston laugh at him. I mean that. Like, and you think about what that was like for him at that moment and what we heard from him tonight and what we have seen from him all year long, Zach, it's awesome. It's another one of those reasons why, like, you watch the Red Sox, it's so much fun to watch the Red Sox because you want to root for a person like that.
Yeah, I was talking with my buddy earlier today because I don't know if you saw, he put the Ephem shirts on sale with proceeds going to charity today. So I sent a screenshot of that to my buddy, and he was like, I don't know that I've ever done a bigger 180 on a player in Boston sports than Jaron Duran. And I brought up, I was like, I wanted him sent to Pluto when he dropped that ball in Kansas City and started fighting with the fans in the outfield in Kansas City. Like, we can't be fighting Kansas City Royals fans on Wednesday afternoons. Like, and he's completely embraced that he struggled with some mental health stuff and has worked through it and became one of the top 10 players in baseball this year. And I think that's really, really commendable from him.
And like, he would not do that now. You're seeing that fire channeled in a different way. And tonight you saw it 433 feet worth, right, of home run tonight. As for the second question there from Dave, and again, we're with you on Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. I wish I had like some crystal ball and some like golden information for you, David. There's no answer right now on Tristan Casas. Here's what, I'll give you the facts that I got for you. Tristan was eligible to come off the IL on June 21st. Well, it's July 2nd, so that didn't happen. And that was the hope, and that was the prayer, and that was all these things. It seems like it's going to be a little while. I think that is kind of based on some of the reports that have popped through here that, you know, I think, you know, he's at the all clear of swinging right now. But swinging is different than going on a rehab assignment. I think, you know, once he's within a rehab assignment, he'll be within 10 days of coming back. So I would imagine you are not going to see him, period, before July 20th. That's just totally me. Like, you're not going to see him before the All-Star game. And, you know, you're probably looking at least a week beyond that. The thing about these, you know, anything rib, obliquey, like, those are nasty, man. And I don't think that, you know, they're in a spot right now where they don't need to rush him back. Like, it's not like this team is floundering, but boy, when he comes back, we all know what that means. So, David, that's the answer. But I also think that the fact that I'm giving you a lack of an answer here probably tells you everything that you need to know. And but I you know, people are hating on Dominic Smith, and he is probably, you know, the guy, other than Yoshida, who has struggled, he's the guy in the lineup where you say, all right, like, you can upgrade here. And obviously when Tristan comes back, you will upgrade. Dominic Smith, you look at the on base and what he did. I mean, his on base percentage in June is like .340, .350. He's giving them something over there. And you know, he was doing something that, you know, that Garrett Cooper could not do. And that's an awesome thing. All right. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Cooper Boardman here with you. Red Sox win 8-3. This is Red Sox Review live on WEEI. I think we'll keep on rolling phone line wise, and we'll go to Steve. Steve in Framingham. Steve, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Hey, Cooper. It's good to talk to you. I love getting the call about Duran. I'm a huge Duran fan. I'm looking forward to seeing him play in the All-Star game. Well-deserved. It's a good story. I was just looking at trade deadline and looking through, and I know you're close to the Worcester. I don't see any potential trades coming out of the players in Worcester. I look down at AA, and there's a lot of names that I recognize and some potential, and I'm just looking at guys that are available, and I'm thinking I wouldn't necessarily trade any of these prospects for what's out there. And I know, like, Garrett Crochet from the White Sox, but I wouldn't leverage, you know, all of that. I was just wondering what you think they might be able to do.
Yeah, no, and it's obviously a very fair question. Steve, thank you for the call. You know, the trade deadline's so interesting, and, you know, there's not a simple answer to what you just asked. I'll try to give the most streamlined answer humanly possible, which might take us about 10 minutes here. But let's dive into it. So you're right about what's at AAA, right? Like, there's just, you know, you look at the Red Sox 40-man roster, and, you know, you're in a situation right now where they're already crunched, right? I mean, it's always crunched. Brian Mata is going to be on his way back off a rehab. That's going to be a spot on the major league roster they'll have to make a decision about. So that's a conversation that's coming down the tracks even faster. Bobby Dalbec's 40-man spot, perhaps up for grabs. Jamie Westbrook's spot, depending on what they want to do, is there. But that's about it at AAA. All right, go to AA. You've got your big three, right? We all know the big three, Meyer, Teal, Anthony. I would be absolutely floored. This is completely my opinion. I have no inside information, but just based on the 5-year plan of Boston Red Sox since the World Series trophy was put down after being covered in champagne, like ever since that moment, I those are the three guys that have, you know, over time become these kind of untouchable. They're coming. It's going to happen. And so I think you're probably looking at a situation in terms of top prospects where any trade, actual capital and trade value is going to come from one of two places, either A-ball and like a Miguel Blais, who's a number four prospect in the organization. Is Nick York's push to AAA part of this conversation? I think so. Luis Perales at AA, Mikey Romero at A-ball, like all of these different names that, like, maybe you know, maybe you don't, are kind of in it. That's part one. Part two is you have to get an organization that values your guy. And Zach and I were going through, and we'll get into it as the night goes along, and the trade deadline conversation is obviously, you know, kind of the number one thing right now when we talk big picture with this team. You know, you could go get a starter at last year's deadline for two top 20 prospects in your system, not top 100 or top 20 prospects in baseball. But, you know, you said it earlier, Zach, Jack Flaherty went for two top 20s in a system. Jordan Montgomery went for two system top 30s and an MLB starter last year, right? So you want to go get a guy in that echelon, it's going to cost you a couple of those guys in the top 20 to 25 of your system, not Meyer, Teal, Anthony, because those guys are in a whole other realm in terms of top 100, top 50 in baseball. But I think the Red Sox right now would be willing to do that. I'm not in the ear. I'm certainly not in the mind of Craig Breslow, but I think that's what we're talking about in terms of what things cost.
Yeah, I mean, I know I said it. I've been talking about Nathan Eovaldi since yesterday when I was like, huh, the Rangers could be sellers. So I wonder if there's guys that are a little bit further down in your system. Nizan Zanatello is one where this was a guy who was pretty raw coming out of high school, and time took him and paid him to stay, or paid him to come instead of going into college. So I wonder if there's a team that views him similarly to the way that Heim viewed him, and maybe Breslow necessarily doesn't, that would take a flyer on him for a starter. But it's certainly an interesting conversation to have.
I think what's interesting, too, to your point about, you know, Heim and Breslow, and kind of, you have really no, you have no track record to look at a deadline, first of all. And I think this can kind of be a good thing with the Red Sox, right? I think you have no track record to go on in terms of looking back at what Breslow's done, but you also don't know how he values guys in the system. The 95% of the guys in this system, he didn't bring in. And so how does he value a guy that might be a top 15 prospect in the organization, but he says, ah, we can go get this somewhere else, and that's the person that they decide to trade based on whatever information that they have and whatever opinion he has. And so there's a lot... there's so much, and there's the macro conversation about, like, what are the Red Sox doing? Are they, you know, are they willing to give up something big for somebody big? I think the answer to that's probably no, honestly. But the micro of it is, well, we don't know what Craig Breslow thinks because we've never had an opportunity to see him think on July 31st. And I'm juiced up to find out. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm excited to find out.
To that point, I mean, I think we kind of got a glimpse into how Breslow might view some of these prospects differently at the Rule 5 draft when they left Shane Drohan, who at this time last year was the top pitching prospect in the organization. They just left him unprotected, and he went off to the White Sox and has since been returned to you, but we know that he didn't view him as the top pitching prospect in the organization.
No question. That's a very, very good point. And so, yeah, who knows? Like, who knows how they think of Brian Mata? Who knows what they think of Blaze Jordan? Who knows what they think of all these different guys? And, we'll see. All right, got to hit a quick break here. We will get to the rest of your calls right on the other side. 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. We talk to you when we come back. Zach has your trending. Back in a moment, Red Sox review on WEEI.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox beat the Marlins tonight by a final score of 8-3. Big night for Masataka Yoshida. The Sox DH went 3-for-5 with an RBI. Sadon Rafaela added a 3-run home run, his 9th of the season. Cutter Crawford got the start for the Sox, going 6 innings, allowing 1 earned on 3 hits, striking out 7. Game 2 of that series goes down tomorrow when Brian Bayo will look to bounce back from a brutal last start opposite Trevor Rogers for the Marlins. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 5:40 with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show. Then at 6:40, Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Celtics have re-signed forward Xavier Tillman to a 2-year deal, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Tillman averaged 5 points and 4 rebounds per game for the Celtics in their championship-winning season. NHL free agency opened yesterday, and the Bruins made 2 big splashes, signing defenseman Nikita Zadorov to a 6-year, $30 million contract, and center Elias Lindholm to a 7-year, $54.25 million deal. The Jake DeBrusque era has ended as the 2015 first-round pick signed a 5-year deal with the Vancouver Canucks that will earn DeBrusque $5.5 million per year. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review coming up after this.
We're back to Red Sox review on WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. You're here. You're live. Red Sox win. This is Red Sox Review. We are reviewing a win. It is good. It is an 8-3 victory to begin the series in Miami. It is 45-39 as a record. It is nothing but good vibes on this Tuesday night as we creep past, 10:20 or so. We're with you till 11. Cooper Boardman live with you. Zach Coe inside the glass, and the Red Sox a win, 8-3. Again, the final 13 hits tonight. They score 2 in the first. Sadon Rafaela bombs a home run in the fourth. They tack on a couple more in the seventh. Jaron Duran adds on with a shot of his own in the eighth. Goes 4-33. to right center. No doubt shot off the bat. Cutter Crawford was very good. 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, no walk, 7 Ks. They only needed 72 pitches out of Cutter tonight, who did throw a ton of strikes in that. Basically, Alex Cora said to him, just watching it back, and I'll give you the short version of it. Basically, Alex said, we need 6 innings out of you tonight. And the bullpen's so rested after the weekend. We need 6 innings out of you tonight, and we'll take it from there. And it's good. It's really good. And he gave them 6 innings. He probably could have given them more, didn't need to give them more, and the Red Sox win, again, by 5 runs over very, very no good, very bad Miami team. All right, and again, we'll take your calls, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937. And we've taken a couple calls, and I see a couple of texts as well right now about the trade deadline. So let's get into the pool, right? It's July 2nd. We'll talk about it on July 2nd. We'll talk about it on July 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th, and we'll just keep talking about it until it gets here. And Zach, you and I were digging in on what happened last year with the Red Sox and deadline-wise and what happened throughout baseball as well. And I guess we'll get to the pitching thing. But, like, offensively, what do you do? What, put on your hat. What do you do? Do you do anything?
I think it's an interesting conversation offensively, because you could theoretically add a middle infielder, be it second baseman or shortstop. I don't know that we've seen a Vaughn Grissom update in quite some time, so who knows when, if at all, you see him again this year. David Hamilton's been swinging a good bat, but how sustainable is that? So if I was going to approach anything offensively, I would say the middle infield. But I also think maybe at some point we could see a decision made on the outfield of the future. Obviously, we have Roman Anthony in AA, so he's going to be coming down the barrel pretty soon. And right now, there's not a spot for him, and this is the type of guy that there's going to have to be a spot for. So I wonder if maybe there's a deal out there for Willier Abreu, and you kind of piece things together in the outfield from there with Duran, Rafaela, and O'Neill. What a return looks like, who knows? That's
you're saying, like, if you hypothetically traded Willier Abreu?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm scared to do that.
I'm kind of scared to do that too, but I kind of feel like they have to make a decision between Duran and him with Anthony coming. So I think maybe if you get the right offer to bring in a starter for Abreu, you look at doing that. But besides that, I mean, there isn't really a whole lot to look at on the offensive side.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you just led me kind of where I feel like, and it's so funny, right? Because, okay, so you go through the lineup tonight, for example. Jaron Duran's not going anywhere. Tyler O'Neill's not going anywhere right now. Willier Abreu, I'm going to live in the world where he's not going anywhere. 25 years old, I love him to death. I think he could be a cornerstone guy. I think you deal with a Roman Anthony problem when there's a Roman Anthony problem, period. Devers isn't going anywhere. Wong isn't going anywhere. Yoshida, big fat question mark. Valdez is in that realm. Smith gets replaced by Casas whenever that comes around, and I think that's going to be later rather than sooner, it seems like, and Rafael isn't going anywhere. Then you go through the rest of, where the Red Sox are roster-wise, right? And, you're talking about David Hamilton and Valdez are in that similar conversation, right, where it's like, you don't need them, but the way they're playing right now, it's one of those things, like, right? Like, if it's not broke, why are you trying to fix something that's not there unless you're getting somebody premium? And I think we've kind of established, and this is the boring part of all of this, right, is the Red Sox are probably not going to trade someone big enough to go get somebody big enough to warrant, getting that back. And so, like, to bring in a replacement level player versus Hamilton, who, he led the majors in stolen bases in the month of June on top of the hitting and all of that. Romy Gonzalez has been really good off the bench. Rob Refsnyder is not going anywhere. And Yoshida, it's hard to imagine in this current financial state and the decision-making with the Red Sox that they're going to eat that. Could you see them packaging Yoshida with a prospect to go to take him out and then taking something on the way back in? Maybe, but You know, that's a convoluted system there.
The issue with that, too, is that you're either giving a higher-rated prospect to get somebody to take the contract, or you're taking on a lesser return with a prospect to get somebody to eat the money.
Yeah, and I don't think the Red Sox are in an organizational state to want to be inclined to do either of those things. And I honestly think that between those two options or trying to get the most out of Yoshida, and I get that that might right now be a little bit of a rock and a hard place, but I think the, you know, a better version, like I can't imagine you get a worse version of Yoshida than the one that you saw coming off the IL and early in the season. He started the ball a little bit harder, and, you know, we're looking for tiny little glimmers right now. I think that, you know, he has the ability to pop, right? He has the capability. I'm not saying he's going to, but, you know, he's it's almost like, all right, well, is it kind of worth keeping him around? Find out. But it's a weird spot. It's a weird offensive spot. Imagine saying this, you know, in May.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of just hold on to that first couple months of Yoshida that we saw last year. He was one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
And it seems like the entire offseason, they called every single team in the league being like, hey, Masataka Yoshida, you want him? He's available. And they got zero biters on it. So you might as well just wait to see what he does for the rest of the year and hope that he can find that April, May of last year. And you can find a taker for the contract as like a 280, 290 hitter that can potentially pop 15 to 20 home runs a year.
You look at, you know, the guys that are available, right? Luis, these are just best bats, right? I'm just reading a list, literally. Luis Robert, Bo Bichette, Vladdy Jr. Again, these are all like, if they sell, whatever. Jazz Chisholm, saw him tonight. Bregman, Pete Alonso, JD Martinez, although I don't know if any Astros or Marlins are going anywhere. Christian Walker, if Diamondbacks decide to sell, Danny Jansen of the Blue Jays. I don't think the Red Sox have, and I don't think that, you know, Danny Jansen would be like the only guy on that list where I'd say, oh, maybe you could. I don't think the Red Sox are willing to offer any capital, enough capital to go get, you know, Christian Walker, who's got like an 8-something OPS over the last 3 years. And
what about Jazz?
Yeah. That's an interesting one, right? You can go play second base.
Yeah.
You're going to make a second trade in a calendar year for a second baseman. It's not, but it, your point, it's like not a bad point, right? You know, you're talking about Jazz at 7:38, but then who replaces David Hamilton on the roster?
Yeah, or Valdez.
Or Valdez.
Yeah.
Replaces Valdez.
You just then run into that exact same issue with what do you do with him after this year?
Right. And you could platoon him like with Grissom, but
he's also another lefty, so that doesn't really help you balance out your lineup at all.
Yeah. And team control through 2026. So that's a steeper price for a guy that, you know, we're not really sure if he's really good. But, I, you know, then you go to like the second tier, Arozarena. Gosh, I'd love him. I would love him. I would drop everything for Randy Arozarena. If the Rays were willing to trade Randy Arozarena, I would listen on Randy Arozarena. Like, I, you know, there are a few guys. It's funny because like there you can do this and say, ah, I don't know if you, but there are a few guys that make me stop. Right. I would stop and listen to him. I would stop and listen on Brent Rooker. You know, they're not going to be able to pay enough for Luis Renjifo. I would stop and listen on Andrew Vaughn. But then, you know, then he's got a DH. Right. I would listen on Yandy Diaz. I would listen on. I'm kind of like looking through Justin Turner. No, I don't really mean that. Eloy Jimenez, maybe. You know, there are a few guys here and there. And then the question is, okay, so you want to go get a Randy Arozarena. And I got to check his contract off top of my head. You know, you're talking about he's under team control beyond 2024. So, you know, okay, so you want to go get him. And he would be a wonderful fit in this lineup because he could play the outfield a little bit. He would allow O'Neill to DH a little bit. He would DH a little bit. Did not have a great start to the year. Had an outstanding month of June. And now, whatever. The question to me is, what he costs, can the Red Sox pay it? I don't think the answer is yes to that.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, he flashed in the 2020 playoffs for the Rays, and then he won Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, he's a bigger name. The results necessarily haven't been there to start this year, but I still think that he's probably costing you way more than you're willing to give up at this point.
To me, if we're going to live in the world where the Red Sox are not, you know, Meyer, Thiel, and Anthony are not going anywhere, right? Top five prospects in this organization are probably not going anywhere. Again, that's just an operation. An assumption I'm operating under. I could be wrong about that, but most signs point to not that. And especially the fact that they have not been overly aggressive with the promotion of any of those three guys does maybe imply that. Not that they've been too slow, but just they haven't promoted them yet, even though, you know, the numbers are good for all three, and they have, you know, things that they're working on, whatever. I think it would take a miracle deal for one of those three guys to move. Okay, that's fine. So if we're going to live in that world, then maybe there's one splash, right? Like maybe there is only enough capital in the system right now with the decision-making process going on with the Red Sox that...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. You're here. You're live. Red Sox win. This is Red Sox Review. We are reviewing a win. It is good. It is an 8-3 victory to begin the series in Miami. It is 45-39 as a record. It is nothing but good vibes on this Tuesday night as we creep past, 10:20 or so. We're with you till 11. Cooper Boardman live with you. Zach Coe inside the glass, and the Red Sox win 8-3. Again, the final 13 hits tonight. They score two in the first. Seidan Rafaela bombs a home run in the fourth. They tack on a couple more in the seventh. Jarren Duran adds on with a shot of his own in the eighth. Goes 4-33 to right center. No doubt shot off the bat. Cutter Crawford was very good. Six innings, three hits, one earned, no walk, seven Ks. They only needed 72 pitches out of Cutter tonight, who did throw a ton of strikes in that. Basically, Alex Cora said to him, just watching it back, and I'll give you the short version of it. Basically, Alex said, we need six innings out of you tonight. And the bullpen's so rested after the weekend. We need six innings out of you tonight, and we'll take it from there. And it's good. It's really good. And he gave them six innings. He probably could have given them more, didn't need to give them more, and the Red Sox win again by 5 runs over very, very no good, very bad Miami team. All right, you know, and again, we'll take your calls, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937, and we've taken a couple calls, and I see a couple of texts as well right now about this the trade deadline, so let's get into the pool, right? It's July 2nd, we'll talk about it on July 2nd, we'll talk about it on July 3rd, and 4th, and 5th, and 6th, and we'll just keep talking about it until it gets here. You know, and Zach, you and I were digging in on what happened last year with the Red Sox and you know, deadline-wise, and what happened throughout baseball as well. And I guess we'll get to the pitching thing. But, like, offensively, what do you do? What, put on your hat. What do you do? Do you do anything?
I think it's an interesting conversation offensively because you could theoretically add a middle infielder, be it second baseman or shortstop. I don't know that we've seen a Vaughn Grissom update in quite some time, so who knows when, if at all, you see him again this year. David Hamilton's been swinging a good bat, but how sustainable is that? So if I was going to approach anything offensively, I would say the middle infield. But I also think maybe at some point we could see a decision made on the outfield of the future. Obviously, we have Roman Anthony in Double A, so he's going to be coming down the barrel pretty soon. And right now, there's not a spot for him, and this is the type of guy that there's going to have to be a spot for. So I wonder if maybe there's a deal out there for Willier Abreu, and you kind of piece things together in the outfield from there with Duran, Rafaela, and O'Neill. What a return looks like, who knows? That's
you're saying, like, if you hypothetically traded Willier Abreu?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm scared to do that.
I'm kind of scared to do that too, but I kind of feel like they have to make a decision between Duran and him with Anthony coming. So I think maybe if you get the right offer to bring in a starter for Abreu, you look at doing that. But besides that, I mean, there isn't really a whole lot to look at on the offensive side.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you just led me kind of where I feel like, and it's so funny, right? Because, okay, so you go through the lineup tonight, for example, Jaron Duran's not going anywhere. Tyler O'Neill's not going anywhere right now. Willier Abreu, I'm going to live in the world where he's not going anywhere. 25 years old, I love him to death. I think he could be a cornerstone guy. I think you deal with a Roman Anthony problem when there's a Roman Anthony problem, period. Devers isn't going anywhere. Wong isn't going anywhere. Yoshida, big fat question mark. Valdez is in that realm. Smith gets replaced by Casas whenever that comes around, and I think that's going to be later rather than sooner, it seems like, and Rafael isn't going anywhere. Then you go through the rest of, you know, where the Red Sox are roster-wise, right? And, you know, you're talking about David Hamilton and Valdez are in that similar conversation, right, where it's like you don't need them, but the way they're playing right now, why, you know, it's one of those things, like, right? Like, if it's not broke, why are you trying to fix something that's not there unless you're getting somebody premium? And I think we've kind of established, and this is the boring part of all of this, right, is the Red Sox are probably not going to trade someone big enough to go get somebody big enough to warrant, you know, getting that back. And so, like, to bring in a replacement level player versus Hamilton, who, you know, he led the majors in stolen bases in the month of June on top of the hitting and all of that. You know, Romy Gonzalez has been really good off the bench. Rob Refsnyder is not going anywhere. And Yoshida, it's hard to imagine in this current financial state and the decision making with the Red Sox that they're going to eat that. Could you see them packaging Yoshida with a prospect to take him out and then taking something on the way back in? Maybe. But, you know, that's a convoluted system there.
The issue with that, too, is that you're either giving a higher-rated prospect to get somebody to take the contract, or you're taking on a lesser return with a prospect to get somebody to eat the money.
Yeah, and I don't think the Red Sox are in an organizational state to want to be inclined to do either of those things. And I honestly think that between those two options or trying to get the most out of Yoshida, and I get that might right now be a little bit of a rock in a hard place, but I think I can't imagine you get a worse version of Yoshida than the one that you saw coming off the IL and early in the season. He started the ball a little bit harder, and, you know, we're looking for tiny little glimmers right now. I think that, you know, he has the ability to pop, right? He has the capability. I'm not saying he's going to, but, he's it's almost like, all right, well, is it kind of worth keeping him around? Find out. But it's a weird spot. It's a weird offensive spot. Imagine saying this, you know, in May.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of just hold on to that first couple months of Yoshida that we saw last year. He was one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
And it seems like the entire offseason, they called every single team in the league being like, hey, Masataka Yoshida, you want him? He's available. And they got zero biters on it. So you might as well just wait to see what he does for the rest of the year and hope that he can find that April, May of last year. And you can find a taker for the contract as like a 280, 290 hitter that can potentially pop 15 to 20 home runs a year.
You look at, you know, the guys that are available, right? Luis, these are just best bats, right? I'm just reading a list, literally. Luis Robert, Bo Bichette, Vladdy Jr. Again, these are all like, if they sell, whatever. Jazz Chisholm, saw him tonight. Bregman, Pete Alonso, JD Martinez, although I don't know if any Astros or Marlins are going anywhere. Christian Walker, if Diamondbacks decide to sell, Danny Jansen of the Blue Jays. I don't think the Red Sox have, and I don't think that, you know, Danny Jansen would be like the only guy on that list where I'd say, oh, maybe you could. I don't think the Red Sox are willing to offer any capital, enough capital to go get, you know, Christian Walker, who's got like an 8-something OPS over the last 3 years. And
what about Jazz?
Yeah. That's an interesting one, right? You can go play second base.
Yeah.
You're going to make a second trade in a calendar year for a second baseman. It's not, but your point, it's like not a bad point, right? You know, you're talking about Jazz at 738, but then who replaces David Hamilton on the roster?
Yeah, or Valdez.
Or Valdez.
Yeah.
Replaces Valdez.
You just then run into that exact same issue with what do you do with him after this year?
Right. And you could platoon him like with Grissom, but
he's also another lefty, so that doesn't really help you balance out your lineup at all.
Yeah. And team control through 2026. So that's a steeper price for a guy that, you know, we're not really sure if he's really good. But, then you go to like the second tier, Arozarena. Gosh, I'd love him. I would love him. I would drop everything for Randy Arozarena. If the Rays were willing to trade Randy Arozarena, I would listen on Randy Arozarena. Like, there are a few guys. It's funny because like there you can do this and say, I don't know if you, but there are a few guys that make me stop. Right. I would stop and listen to him. I would stop and listen on Brent Rooker. They're not going to be able to pay enough for Luis Ranjifo. I would stop and listen on Andrew Vaughn. But then, you know, then he's got a DH. Right. I would listen on Yandy Diaz. I would listen on. I'm kind of like looking through Justin Turner. No, I don't really mean that. Eloy Jimenez, maybe. You know, there are a few guys here and there. And then the question is, okay, so you want to go get a Randy Arozarena. And I got to check his contract off top of my head. You know, you're talking about he's under team control beyond 2024. So, you know, okay, so you want to go get him. And he would be a wonderful fit in this lineup because he could play the outfield a little bit. He would allow O'Neill to DH a little bit. He would DH a little bit. Did not have a great start to the year. Had an outstanding month of June. And now, whatever. The question to me is, what he costs, can the Red Sox pay it? I don't think the answer is yes to that.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, he flashed in the 2020 playoffs for the Rays, and then he won Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, he's a bigger name. The results necessarily haven't been there to start this year, but I still think that he's probably costing you way more than you're willing to give up at this point.
To me, if we're going to live in the world where the Red Sox are not, you know, Meyer, Teal, and Anthony are not going anywhere, right? The top five prospects in this organization are probably not going anywhere. Again, that's just an operation. I'm an assumption I'm operating under. I could be wrong about that, but most signs point to not that. And especially the fact that they have not been overly aggressive with the promotion of any of those three guys does maybe imply that. Not that they've been too slow, but just they haven't promoted him yet, even though, you know, the numbers are good for all three, and they have, you know, things that they're working on, whatever. I think it would take a miracle deal for one of those three guys to move. Okay, that's fine. So if we're going to live in that world, then maybe there's one splash, right? Like maybe there is only enough capital in the system right now with the decision-making process going on with the Red Sox that there's one splash to be made. I'd rather that splash come from pitching. I really would. And I also think in this pitching development program that has had so much success in the short term and seems to be poised to have success in the long term, that, yeah, it'd be nice to be one of the teams going after Garrett Crochet, but it does feel like that's a Dodgers or bust or somebody like that to go get him. Yeah, it would be nice if Scherzer was available to be in that conversation, or Severino, Nathan Eovaldi, your guy. But you start to talk about some of the second-tier guys. Jordan Montgomery is in that. Wouldn't that be a fun one, right? Cal Quantrill of the Rockies, who's really good with the Guardians, and then ends up over there. Kyle Hendricks, a Paul Blackburn, like these guys that are kind of in the second tier. Is there somebody that Craig Breslow in this front office look at and say, this guy's pretty good, we're going to have to give up something, two top 30s in our organization or something like that to go get him, but we feel like we can make him really good? And that will be, I think, that I think is reasonable. Like that, I think if we're going to like live in a reasonable world, and it will be the kind of thing that on the on deadline day, people are like, like we got Jose Quintana or like Marco Gonzalez, really, or whatever. Like I know that people will say that, but that could be the kind of move that could actually happen and could actually make a legitimate impact.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, look at what they gave up for going back to Nathan Eovaldi in 2018. They gave up Jalen Beeks for a guy who had already had two Tommy Johns and had all the potential in the world, but hadn't necessarily put it together yet. And he turned into a guy that everyone in the fan base loved. So it might not jump off the page to you immediately as an impact trade, but it could turn out to be that.
I think that's, yeah, I think that's on. And I do look at these second tier guys, and again, it's about if you're willing to sell. Like, if the Diamondbacks going to sell, Jordan Montgomery, the Diamondbacks sit here. You look at the NL wild card right now, and that's a team that knows the value of staying in it for as long as humanly possible. But they're three out. Somebody in the National League is going to make the decision that they can't be in the race anymore. I mean, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Teams that are all within 6 games of each other on the edge of the wild card race. 7 teams. Sorry, I forgot the Cardinals. 7 teams that are all within 6 games of each other. One of these teams is going to stop and look around and say, yeah, this isn't for us. If it's the Diamondbacks, it's Jordan Montgomery. If it's, the Cubs, who are very much in that race, it's Kyle Hendricks. If it's the Pirates, it's Marco Gonzalez. If it's the Mets, maybe it's Jose Quintana or Luis Severino, but Mets are probably not making that decision at this point. The Giants are not making that decision. The Diamondbacks cannot yet make that decision. And the only answer we get on any of those things is what happens in the next 3 weeks. And that is the fun of all of this, but
one.
Yeah.
Jack Flaherty from the Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't mind that, but again, don't you feel like he's out of the price range?
Yeah, I guess maybe thinking about it now, it kind of seems that way. Like, obviously, he had a bad year last year, but he seems to have turned back the clock a couple years with the Tigers. So I guess he probably is a little bit out of the price range. Unless you, even like Christian Campbell's a guy that I don't know that I'm giving up for Jack Flaherty. So unless there's a guy that Breslow and them don't necessarily view as highly as some of these prospect ranking sites, I don't necessarily see them going after him now.
Yeah. And then the only other, because it's 10:38, we like to play hypotheticals right now. The only other thing that I will say is, and I'd be surprised if it happened, but I wouldn't be, it could happen, right? Is if Craig Breslow sits here and says, hey, we can give up a Meyer Teal Anthony right now. And I really bottom of my heart think that on August 2nd, all three of those guys will still be in the organization. But you look at one of those three guys, or you look at, you look at one of your top fives, right? So you've got those three. You got Miguel Blythe in A ball right now. You've got Weekelman Gonzalez in Double A right now. If those are the top fives in the organization, and maybe there's some other value periphery wise that people like or whatever, Like, would they be willing to give up somebody like that for Garrett Crochet, right? And I'm using Crochet as kind of a catch-all, right? Because he is under team control through 2026, you know, and say, hey, we're going to go get our ace. We're going to go get our guy. And we're going to make a decision that's not only for now, but for the future. Because, you know, the reality is at some point here, despite all of the wonderful pitching that the Red Sox have done, despite the fact that Tanner Houck is amazing and is an ace right now, at some point in the next 2 years, Red Sox need someone else to join those guys. And it is going to have to come, I think, based on what you look at, barring something surprising from the system right now or a rapid rise from guys in A-ball and AA, it's going to have to come external. And so that is the calculus, but like, do you do that? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
So I kind of think that Garrett Crochet is going to be an Oriole just because they have such a logjam of prospects.
If they ever Kobe actually Mayo. Do anything, ever.
Yeah, right. So they have Kobe Mayo, they have Jordan Westberg, Connor Norby, Heston Kerstad. They have all these great prospects with really no landing spots. So I kind of think that, especially if the Orioles are in the mix on him and so are you, that the Orioles will be able to outgun you in a trade. But you mentioned a guy under team control, Jesus Luzardo, on a struggling Marlins. Obviously, he's on the 60-day IL with a back strain,
I think
it is. I think
it's
going to
be a while, too.
Yeah. So is that maybe a chance to buy low? And I agree with you wholeheartedly that I think Meyer, Thiel, and Anthony are all still in the organization on August 2nd. But I wonder if maybe the Connor Wong emergence has made Thiel a little bit more expendable to the Red Sox. And if he does, that's probably the least valuable of the bunch of the big three, so that probably doesn't net you Garrett Crochet if you're getting into a bidding war.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It's so interesting. It's so interesting. And again, I don't think that big splash happens like that, but you know, and it's not like you're sitting here and saying there are like a lot of options on the trade market right now. This is also, it's July 2nd, so it's a little murky right now. I don't know. We'll see. Red Sox Review live with you, 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. 37937 on the text line. The only, the last question here I'll put, and we got a few minutes before we got to hit a break, and then we'll get into tomorrow and Brian Bayou and all this. The last thing I'll hit you on is just, is there anybody that on the current roster, and you gave Willie Abreu, so maybe you already answered this question, you would entertain trading if there's value? Like, to me, if there's value in trading Kenley Jansen for actual major league value, not just prospect capital, but like actual major league value to your team, I would be willing to give to get. That might be, and that is a vibes thing that like you would have to manage. But if you were getting something legitimate back for him, I don't think that there, you know, I don't know how much you get for a reliever, but I think there might be something there.
Yeah, Kenley's one. I mentioned Willie Abreu earlier. If you get blown away with an offer on him, I think that that's something you should consider. I think maybe Chris Martin is one that I would offload for maybe not major league ready talent, but some prospects, because I've been pretty happy with what I've seen out of Justin Slayton. So I think you can piece together that eighth inning role if you still have Kenley there on the back end to hold the line in the ninth.
It's a really dangerous thing, but I think you do start to, like, I have belief in this bullpen. I have belief that they can replace within the bullpen, right? Bailey Horn comes up. Tonight he's really good. There's two scoreless against the Marlins. That doesn't change your life. But, like, that's, you know, Cam Booser sitting in AAA right now. I mean, think about that. You think about, you know, what, and it's also like you look at some of the moves they made. They claimed, they made a waiver claim reliever last week. You can kind of see some writing on the wall. Like, they don't know the answers to these questions because it's July 2nd, but they are thinking along these lines, right? If, okay, you get in a situation where you can trade Chris Martin or you can trade Kenley Jansen and you like the return, they have guys waiting in the wings. Now, nobody's going to be Kenley, right? Like, you're talking about a Hall of Fame closer on the back end. You're talking about Chris Martin, who has been, you know, nails for years, right, in the big leagues. But, you know, you're going to give a little to get a little. And if that return is legitimate, if that return is real, again, I am more than willing to have the conversation. It'll be fascinating to see what happens. But again, it's funny because, again, and just to put the bow on this portion of the conversation, in May, it's so different. than what we're talking about now, sitting here on July 2nd after the June that the Red Sox had with this offense. And the only thing that you know to be true is you need a starting pitcher if you want this team to be better. I think that's the only thing that I think.
Just to touch on the Kenley thing real quick. Last year, Aroldis Chapman got traded for Cole Ragans,
who's
one of the top pitchers
in
the league now. So, I mean, obviously that was a guy who was a former first-round pick that hadn't put it together yet, and he goes to Kansas City and becomes, like I said, one of the top pitchers in the league. But with the pitching infrastructure that we have here, there's no reason that they can't identify a guy like that and then go out and do that.
That's very well said. And you had a team going all in with the Rangers. They're willing to give up Ragans, and the Royals got it right, right? And you know, I think that what you'll actually see is that is the Red Sox are going to put themselves in a position to get it right, whatever that means. But that's the kind of trade that puts you in a position to get the deadline right for not only the now, but the future. And I think you'll see something like that. I don't think you're going to see nothing. I hope you're not going to see nothing. All right. Quick break, come back. We're with you till 11. Last calls, last text of the night, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Text line at 37937. And then we answer some burning questions about Brian Bello. What happens tomorrow? That's burning the most. Back in a moment. Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Good night for the Red Sox. Good night for us tonight. Red Sox Review live on WEEI. Cooper Boardman with you. Zach Coe inside the glass. Again, just like team keeps winning. You keep marching to the beat, right? Like, you keep flashing along. 8-3 tonight over Miami. You win the opener of this three-game series. Bad team on the other side. Good win tonight. And like that's what there is to say about it. And you know, Red Sox put two on a bad starter on the other side. Kid making his second ever major league start. They put three more on him in the fourth on the home run by Seidon Rafael. They two in the seventh, one in the eighth. Good night. 8-3. Again, the final. They're 45-39. They're going to go to bed tonight. We'll see if the Rays and Royals ever get started again in a rain delay in the top of the sixth inning in Kansas City. But they're going to go to bed tonight in all likelihood, you know, a game behind Kansas City for the third and final playoff spot. Again, Red Sox Review live with you. Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe, 617-779-7937. On the phone line, 617-779-7937. Text line open at 37937. But I do, just in our last few minutes here, want to shift attention to tomorrow, to Brian Bello. And just leave a few minutes, and we'll talk about this for the hour as well, in all likelihood, on the MassMutual pregame show. That begins at 5:40 tomorrow. Remember, 5:40 pre, 6:40 on your ball game. A little weird starts in Miami. You know, it's to get all the people in the stands, obviously. I am... Tomorrow, if Red Sox lose tomorrow, wake up on Thursday, nothing will be that different, right? It'll be okay. It's a 162-game season. We've seen the Red Sox lose games to bad teams and come back and win those games or whatever. But I am... I cannot remember, and I'm like mentally racking my brain and looking at the Red Sox schedule from June and beyond. It has been a long time, weeks and perhaps months, since I have been so just genuinely bottom of my heart curious to see what is about to happen. Brian Bello had as bad of a month of June as you could imagine. He had the worst month of his major league career. He blew up twice, once in Chicago against the White Sox, and then once, you know, the week previous against the Blue Jays at Fenway Park last week. And they skip him. And now here you are. You know, you're talking about a guy, we know about the extension, we know about the Pedro comps and all these things, who at 25 years old, and I've said this before, and we said this on Red Sox Review last week as well after that start, who is facing and this is not in any, this is actually a compliment to him, is facing significant adversity for the very first time. Red Sox have amazing people, right? I think we believe in the people, and this is not like eyewash. I really do mean this. You believe in Andrew Bailey. You believe in the pitching development around him. You know, just knowing some of the people that are, you know, on the mental skill side, and their job in this is huge. Huge when you talk about, because I think this is not a physical problem. I don't think what you're seeing is an issue with pitch shape. And yeah, there's some stuff that needs to be better. This is an issue of him trying to be the best. The Jaren Duran trajectory that we talked about with the caller right off the top of the show, that's what we're talking about here with Brian Baio. How do you mature over weeks? How do you mature over months? How do you mature on a major league mound? They're impossible questions to answer, honestly. But, Zach, tomorrow is the first time we get to find out after they gave him some extra time to learn and think about this.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that we talked earlier in the show about how the Marlins are one of the worst offenses in baseball, but we saw him get lit up by the Chicago White Sox, one of the other worst offenses in baseball. So
doesn't matter.
Like you said, I really don't think it makes that much of a difference. But since coming off the IL, he has a 7 ERA.
Yeah.
So I think he's lost the, oh, he was hurt excuse, because he's made, I think it's nine starts since coming off the IL. So it's really a show us what you're made of start from Brian Baio. So I'm really interested to see how he comes out.
It's a huge start, not only for him, not only for the team tomorrow in a game that you're trying to win, but it's a huge start in the context of the rest of this season. You know, Craig Breslow is going to be tasked, you know, on July 30th, 28 days from now, Craig Breslow is going to be tasked with making a decision about the next, you know, 2 months of the Red Sox season. And, you know, I think Tristan Casas and Vaughn Grissom's status injury-wise are probably 1 and 2 in terms of little pieces, little morsels of information that he has to make a decision. This right here tomorrow, and subsequent starts from Brian Baio on the way into the All-Star break, those are gigantic pieces of information about the decisions that he will make. It will go from, hey, this is a starting rotation, it'd be nice to, you know, bolster them a little bit, to, oh, we need a starter at the deadline. Yeah. And again, what happens tomorrow is the first step on the way back. And it's a, you know, and again, you can say the opponent doesn't really matter, right? Like, you know, what happened with the White Sox is absolutely true, what you said. But, shoot, like, what actually does matter is what he does. And it doesn't, the opponent is not important. What he does is important.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, Trevor Rogers has a 4.87 ERA. So the Red Sox offense could come out there and put up a crooked number really immediately. And if Baio still goes out there and gets shelled again, then that's going to be the storyline, even if they win the game.
Yeah. It's going to be a heck of a thing to see. So we'll see. We will see. Again, 5:40 pre, MassMutual Red Sox pregame show, 5:40. Game at 6:40. Brian Baio. Man, I know Joe Wiles got you tomorrow, so he will have all the takes and thoughts. He's got pregame and postgame tomorrow, so he will take you through everything and anything. I'm back with you pregame on Thursday, 4th of July. And so I will walk in here, I don't know, what, like 12:10, and we'll say, I cannot wait to walk in here because I will have an opinion. It will be, oh my God, what just happened? Or it will be somewhere in the middle, or it will be, wow. You know, and again, tomorrow night is as juiced up for a start, just to like, it's like a nervous anticipation as I have felt in a long while. So again, all right, we'll see. 5:40, 6:40 on your game. That's it for us tonight. Big thanks to Zach Coe, Inside the Glass. I'm Cooper Boardman saying so long. We will talk to you tomorrow. This has been Red Sox Review on WEEI.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through,
you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Good night for the Red Sox. Good night for us tonight. Red Sox Review live on WEEI. Cooper Boardman with you. Zach Coe inside the glass. Again, just like team keeps winning. It just keeps, you keep marching to the beat, right? Like you keep flashing along. 8-3 tonight over Miami. You win the opener of this three-game series. Bad team on the other side. Good win tonight. And like that's what there is to say about it. And you know, Red Sox put two on a bad starter on the other side. Kid making his second ever major league start. They put three more on him in the fourth on the home run by Seydon Rafael. They two in the seventh, one in the eighth. Good night. 8-3. Again, the final. They're 45-39. They're going to go to bed tonight. We'll see if the Rays and Royals ever get started again in a rain delay in the top of the sixth inning in Kansas City. But they're going to go to bed tonight in all likelihood, you know, a game behind Kansas City for the third and final playoff spot. Again, Red Sox Review live with you. Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe, 617-779-7937. On the phone line, 617-779-7937. Text line open at 37937. But I do, just in our last few minutes here, want to shift attention to tomorrow, to Brian Baio. And just leave a few minutes, and we'll talk about this for the hour as well, in all likelihood, on the MassMutual pregame show. That begins at 5:40 tomorrow. Remember, 5:40 pre, 6:40 on your ball game. A little weird starts in Miami. You know, it's to get all the people in the stands, obviously. I am... Tomorrow, if Red Sox lose tomorrow, wake up on Thursday, nothing will be that different, right? It'll be okay. It's a 162-game season. We've seen the Red Sox lose games to bad teams and come back and win those games or whatever. But I am... I cannot remember, and I'm like mentally racking my brain and looking at the Red Sox schedule from June and beyond. It has been a long time, weeks and perhaps months, since I have been so just genuinely bottom of my heart curious to see what is about to happen. Brian Baio had as bad of a month of June as you could imagine. He had the worst month of his major league career. He blew up twice, once in Chicago against the White Sox, and then once, you know, the week previous against the Blue Jays at Fenway Park last week. And they skip him. And now here you are. You know, you're talking about a guy, we know about the extension, we know about the Pedro comps and all these things, who at 25 years old, and I've said this before, and we said this on Red Sox Review last week as well after that start, who is facing, and this is not in any, this is actually a compliment to him, is facing significant adversity for the very first time. Red Sox have amazing people, right? I think we believe in the people, and this is not like eyewash. I really do mean this. You believe in Andrew Bailey. You believe in the pitching development around him. You know, just knowing some of the people that are, you know, on the mental skills side and their job in this is huge. Huge when you talk about, because I think this is not a physical problem. I don't think what you're seeing is an issue with pitch shape. And yeah, there's some stuff that needs to be better. This is an issue of him trying to be the best. The Jaron Duran trajectory that we talked about with the caller right off the top of the show, that's what we're talking about here with Brian Baio. How do you mature over weeks? How do you mature over months? How do you mature on a major league mound? They're impossible questions to answer, honestly. But, Zach, tomorrow is the first time we get to find out after they gave him some extra time to learn and think about this.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that we talked earlier in the show about how the Marlins are one of the worst offenses in baseball, but we saw him get lit up by the Chicago White Sox, one of the other worst offenses in baseball. So
doesn't matter.
I don't. Yeah, like you said, I really don't think it makes that much of a difference. But since coming off the IL, he has a 7 ERA.
Yeah.
So I think he's lost the he was hurt excuse because he's made, I think it's nine starts since coming off the IL. So it's really a show us what you're made of start from Brian Baio. So I'm really interested to see how he comes out.
It's a huge start, not only for him, not only for the team tomorrow in a game that you're trying to win, but it's a huge start in the context of the rest of this season. You know, Craig Breslow is going to be tasked, you know, on July 30th, 28 days from now, Craig Breslow is going to be tasked with making a decision about the next, you know, 2 months of the Red Sox season. And, you know, I think Tristan Casas and Vaughn Grissom's status, injury-wise, are probably 1 and 2 in terms of, what's the word, little pieces, you know, that he, little morsels of information that he has to make a decision. This right here tomorrow, and subsequent starts from Brian Baio on the way into the All-Star break, those are gigantic pieces of information about the decisions that he will make. It will go from, hey, this is a starting rotation, it'd be nice to, you know, bolster them a little bit, to, oh, we need a starter at the deadline. Yeah, and again, what happens tomorrow is the first step on the way back. And it's a, you know, and again, you can say the opponent doesn't really matter, right? Like, you know, what happened with the White Sox is absolutely true, what you said. But shoot, like, what actually does matter is what he does. And it doesn't, the opponent is not important. What he does is important.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, Trevor Rogers has a 4.87 ERA. So the Red Sox offense could come out there and put up a crooked number really immediately. And if Baio still goes out there and gets shelled again, then that's going to be the storyline, even if they win the game.
Yeah. It's going to be a heck of a thing to see. So we'll see. We will see. Again, 5:40 pre, MassMutual Red Sox pregame show, 5:40. Game at 6:40. Brian Baio. Man, I know Joe Wiles got you tomorrow, so he will have all the takes and thoughts. He's got pregame and postgame tomorrow, so he will take you through everything and anything. I'm back with you pregame on Thursday, 4th of July. And so I will walk in here, I don't know, what, like 12:10, and we'll say, I cannot wait to walk in here because I will have an opinion. It will be, oh my God, what just happened? Or it will be somewhere in the middle, or it will be, wow. You know, and again, tomorrow night is as juiced up for a start, just to like, it's like a nervous anticipation as I have felt in a long while. So again, all right, we'll see. 540, 640 on your game. That's it for us tonight. Big thanks to Zacho, Inside the Glass. I'm Cooper Boardman saying so long. We will talk to you tomorrow. This has been Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.